Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Now, here's your host, entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole.
What's up, Stronger Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Stronger Than Failure. I am your host, Danny Cole, and with me is Blake. I've got property for sale in Sonoya, Georgia, Barber. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of this show. We love you. We appreciate you. And we are going to bring to you another incredible show today. It is Wednesday, powerful interview with Powerful Entrepreneur Wednesday. And today's show is going to be nothing less than amazing. On today's show, we have got Travis Montgomery, the owner and founder of All Glass here in Fayetteville, Georgia. So this guy here, man, Blake, I'm not sure if you knew, I found maybe just a little bit earlier, he started his business at 22 years old. Pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah. How long ago was that?
Last year?
2 months.
I know, he's got that baby face.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I got my hall pass to come in the room with you guys, that's for sure.
So, folks, make sure you tune in. You're going to hear how he started his business, the things he had to go through, and more. But first, Blake, what's up, dude? What's going on with you this week? How have you been?
This week? Man, you know, I'm always saying I'm chasing the dream. Guess what happened this week?
You caught it.
No.
You still chasing it?
I'm still chasing it.
That's why you look so good, huh?
But I got some good sleep. How about that?
That's part of the business.
How about yourself, man? I heard you had a late night last night working on some pretty important stuff. Tell me about that. A
couple different things. One, you know, I'm the director of sales for New Beginning Financial Group. So last night I was working on some sales scripts, putting those things together, which was going into the night. And then also, you and I talk about Fiverr a lot.
Right.
So any entrepreneur, if you're getting, again, logos, business ideas, networking, whatever it is, I mean, Fiverr is your go-to. So I was working on a book cover. So I sent it out last night and got the proof back today. I showed you the proof. So, dude, I was up last night, just brains going, thinking about what to do, how to do certain things. You know, am I headed the right direction with the book covers, the whole name, everything. But been productive. It's been good.
For our listeners, you know, that's actually a good idea. We should get a camera. We talked about doing a camera in here so that people can actually see just how gorgeous you are. And what a stark contrast I am. But then we can also show off your new pending book cover. Is that still under wraps? Is that top secret now?
No, like I said, well, I've got a couple more that's coming back. I sent out to like four different people to see which cover I want to go with. And then I'll make some critiques and go with it. So, yeah, we'll find out on next show. So let's try to go live next show video-wise as well. And we'll see what people think.
Can we do that, Derwin?
What?
I was like, wait a minute.
Sure you can.
Was it like a Facebook Live or something?
Yeah, sure you can.
All right.
For a small fee.
I like it. Derwin's always like, look, how are we going to make money?
So I'm going to wear my purple blazer. With a butterfly collar.
I love it.
Yeah.
With the shoes with the fish bowls at the bottom. Man, and the old school pimping boots.
Boy. Put a shiny shave on my head. You won't be able to see nothing.
So they couldn't get past your arms anyway. All right, folks. Enough of all us having fun in here. You're going to love it next week when you get to see it live. I'm going to jump right to the interview because this man is probably one of the nicest guys you will ever meet, Travis Montgomery. Again, he is – how old are you, Travis?
I just turned 26.
Dude, see, this man is young, and he started his business 4 years ago. So, Travis, let's jump right into it,
bro.
Man.
He's a quarter of a century.
He's a young buck, man. Look at him.
Quarter of a century. Yeah. Okay.
I keep telling everyone I'm halfway to 30, and they're like, no, you've – been halfway, you know what I mean? 25 feels halfway to,
yeah, we think 20 to 30. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when life started and stopped, feels like. Or maybe not stopped yet. I haven't gotten to 30 yet.
No, bro, it's gonna keep going quickly. I'm 41 now, bro. Time flies.
Yeah, I can feel it.
Well, dude, tell everybody first about your business.
Okay, so first and foremost, we're a glass servicing company. We do everything from smallest things to picture frames all the way up to big commercial jobs. But primarily, I just like to do shower doors. That's where we've really found our niche over the last 4 years. And to be transparent, it's just a great industry. We work with a lot of people, but we get repeat customers, whether it's contractors. But at the same time, residential people are constantly needing glass service. So, yeah, really anything glass related except for stained glass. I hope to think I'm the one to do it.
There you go. Now, as far as, like you had mentioned before, like when I talked to you, because you had came out to my house to look at one of the panes for the windows in my family room, and you had mentioned there, like, the shower doors being, like, I guess the bread and butter or the best part.
It really is great.
Are those constantly breaking, or are they just, like, new construction going in? Like, what's the deal there?
No, not breaking. I wouldn't say that. More, whether it be remodeling, taking out old framed units, stuff that, you know, was put in the 70s and 80s, and everyone... I feel very blessed that I just happened to hit this generation to where it just feels like everyone's got a little more free finances, and they're just spending it towards upgrading, and shower doors are a great thing. But we also do new construction. We have all the accounts in pine wood, and we're doing some tiny homes in there now, which is pretty cool. I've been digging that.
Tiny homes in pine wood?
Yeah, they have it's called the Micro Village, Mr. Blake.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. And secretly, they may actually do some little treehouse things in pine wood, which I think would be very, interesting. It would be very neat.
That would, yeah. If you've not seen the tiny houses, Matt Thomas was telling me about it, and he was showing me pictures of them.
The ones in Pinewood.
Yeah. Dude, like, beautiful. They got, like, on the top of the roof, they got little balconies and everything overlooking the whole scenery. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, now, the price point, I'm not sure what the price point is.
I don't know either, sir. Yeah. I don't want
But, to. Yeah, dude, they look really cool.
I was like, I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. But that is one thing I would like to ask you before the show is over. When you talk about you're getting most of those if you've got some sort of... if you got some sort of contract or commit from somebody, the powers that be there, I would love to know how you got that.
Yeah, I would love to share that with you, absolutely. I'd love to bring you to a networking meeting tomorrow morning, too. But that's a whole other side thing.
Okay. Blake started, he's like, man, I've got my thing, and I'm up to the jails in the morning, right?
No, jail was this morning.
That's this morning.
Tomorrow's Bible study, which I invite you to every week. But
tell you what, I've been waking up early, I'll be there in the morning. Done, you got my word.
Amen.
I would say Travis.
B&I. I'm trying to drag him out. You're dragging him to the glory. That's awesome.
All right, we'll just bounce around a little bit. So, yeah, going to Blake's question. So, how did you get, like, these contracts?
For me, when I started my company, a great friend came to me and was like, hey, you have a wonderful business plan. You have a wonderful model, but we've got to be sure people can find you. And so I really kind of jumped 2 feet in into trusting, you know, someone to advertise with me. And then... before I know it, the people that did find me online or did find me on Facebook, though they didn't know me, they were comfortable to use me. And then once they did use me, it was kind of a very strong snowball. So if I did, a residential customer in Pinewood hired me, and really it all started in Serenby. A lot of the builders are the same. I did, say, a job for a customer in Serenby, and they introduced me to their builder. And before I knew it, I was just doing, you know, most of the new construction in Serenby and Pinewood and stuff.
Nice.
And I loved it. It was
just by word of mouth.
Yeah, truly at that point.
And that's that seems to be a common thread. That seems to be how a lot of people grow. We've had many guests on here who don't do, if any, advertising at all. They just start small and within months or years, but just by word of mouth.
I do a ton of advertising, really, for entrepreneurs that may be listening. I don't consider marketing like an overhead. There's a lot of people that will say, you know, you have too much overhead in marketing per se, but I think it's more of an investment. If I can spend $2,000 and guarantee to make $3,000 or $4,000 or whatever it might be, I will just do it as many times as physically possible. And that's what marketing was for me. But you're right, Mr. Blake, at this point, it is more word of mouth, but it's because of that initial catalyst that I had of actually getting to these people's doors with a company that you know was just visually appetizing, I guess. You know, whenever you hire a labor person, you do research them. It's not an audition per se, but you will get 3 quotes. You don't always go with the cheapest. You don't always go with the highest. It's a fact. So something in between the price is kind of where you find that comfort zone. And a lot of people, even me, when I look for like a window tender, I just get on Google. Or if I need someone for like painting, our generation is kind of locked into this social media and computers. And I think we have to be flexible as business owners. If Home Advisor worked really well, I would do Home Advisor.
that wouldn't kind of benefit you, right? Because of
the Home Advisor, for me, I was finding that, so I do what's called call tracking numbers. So each website I have has a different phone number. So at the end of the month, I can see everything from Google had 60 phone calls, but everything, and I did used to do Home Advisor, I only had 7 calls from Home Advisor or something. So I was really able to see. But what I saw was happening is I was paying for leads from Home Advisor, but right after I got the, you know, the forwarded lead from Home Advisor, they would just call my personal cell number. So I would be paying, you know, $25 for a lead. And then, you know, when I quoted the job and hung up with them, it was a matter of seconds before they were just going right down the list, you know, mm-hmm. Home Advisor, Google, Yelp. And so I began to almost compete with myself with people. Like mm-hmm. it became not confusing at all. I just had to figure out, you know, where I really wanted to target it. And just the Home Advisor stuff, it went.
Now, I know we're getting kind of, we don't usually follow this pattern, but if I can follow that rabbit down the hole for just a second, because I'm very curious. When you just said that, because I used to do the same thing with Yelp and YellowPages.com as far as the number tracking. And like you just said, where people don't really recognize different numbers. And then when you eliminate the service, if you have or have not yet, people are still associating you with the old number. Have you found that to be an issue yet or no? As far as I guess once they know who you are, it's just a matter of getting on Google and finding a number and trying to get in touch with you as far as...
Truly, for me, since the beginning, I've actually kept all of my phone numbers like through all of those services except for Home Advisor. And what Home Advisor will do is use... Like if I was to try to contact you through Home Advisor, the number would probably be exactly the same as if I was trying to contact Mr. Danny. It's just it would have a different extension. So people, when I pulled Home Advisor, I knew people weren't necessarily like saving my extension number and stuff. So that was easy to wash away, but I have thought about that. And one of my advertising companies it's called Pay Per Call. So mm-hmm. it's not so much, he's a great friend of mine and stuff, but there's a true business side of it that I don't have with the other person that I use predominantly. And if I was to pull that advertising contract, I would be very nervous of having to maybe purchase all the call tracking numbers or something along that. So I do always try to make like a personal connection. If you call me through a call tracking number, I'm only going to call you back on a cell number or text you on my cell. So that initial contact, and you know, often sometimes when you call someone, they'll say, oh, what was your number? Even when you call them back. And then, you know, though they Googled one number or found me on Facebook with another, I can give them the one or give them the magnetic business card to put on the freezer for, you know, the older generations and stuff. I can't stress enough. I want to be so flexible with the advertising and just do what's best. It's not a trick. It's just, hey, I think I'm the best. I think I'll do the best price. Put me out there and let me show you that. And that's all. That's all it would take, I hope.
that sounds like it's been working. So now, so far, kind of still staying on the same topic here, what has been like the best form of advertising for you? I know word of mouth is now, but as far as getting things rolling in the beginning, what did you do and what worked the best for you?
What worked best for me was, you know, honestly, the pay-per-call. Because when I started the company, I had a limited budget. You know, we decided, I started the company with my best friend, Philip, first and foremost. When we started the company, we did not want to accumulate debt. We wanted to, if we're going to do our shop, we want to pay it off for a year. If we're going to get a van, we want to pay it off type of thing. So we had a kind of a limited budget. And so when the pay-per-call situation was put on my table, it was, you know, he told me in his exact words were, if your phone's not ringing, you're not paying me. So you'll only pay for customers that are real, that are in your area, that are interested in your service. And if you can't finish the job from there, then... You know, at that point, the advertiser has done his job, and I thought that was super fair. You know, if someone will just call me, you know, we're not always the cheapest, but I do think that, you know, over that course of period of time back then, we probably were the cheapest at times. Like we were hunting for every single call that came through, and that, you know, if I was paying $25 per call, some jobs, like if an older woman needed just a tiny picture frame or something, that may have only been like a $10 or $15 job that I paid $25 for. But in my heart, I was like, okay, Miss Margaret's going to call me for something else in 6 months.
And if she doesn't, she'll tell her friends and family members.
Precisely, Mr. Blake. And that's where it was. I was like, okay, the more people I can meet, the more people that enjoy us. And you said I was really nice and stuff, but I'm like kind of the back line of the like... kindness and just like Philip brings in a prayer notebook to everyone's
really
home. And before he starts a job, he's like, hey, you know, not to make you uncomfortable, I'm going to leave this here. Like, if there's anything you need to write in it, you know, just write in it. I ain't going to read it here. We ain't going to talk about it here. But, you know, this is, like, why I'm in your home. Travis is here to do work, but I'm in here to do this for you. And so that was, that's kind of what I think helps trickle. If you're just, a really good person and you market yourself, like, it'll...
And he does that with every customer?
I would say, I think he probably, you know... If they're obviously Muslim or something, I think he would kind of try to screen to be polite and stuff. But no, I think he and if he knew they were of another religious descent, he would probably still be like, "Well, is there anything personally I can do to help you? Can we speak about anything?" And so anytime I have a bad, thing with a customer, I know that the next person that's going to go in their door is probably going to be, a smiling face to them. always.
Dude, I think that's pretty great that y'all that he does that. Right. And as far as just the prayer, and I think both of y'all just being super nice, because whenever I met Travis, it was a couple weeks back, and I was like, man, this dude is super, just a really good guy. Just, you can tell, just a really, really genuine guy. So, and then the worker had come out to the house. I forgot the guy's
name. Ryan. Ryan's our new one. Yeah, he's incredible.
And super nice guy as well. He said, hey, same thing. Mr. Danny, I'm doing this. Is there anything I can do? Like, really nice guy. So I really appreciated it. So anybody that I know that needs glass service, any kind of glass work, we'll be sending them to you.
Thank you. Hallelujah, man.
Yeah. Now, tell us, I know we jumped into the whole marketing everything, which is phenomenal, which we're going to get back to. But look, man, you got started really young. Now, how did that happen? Now, did you always know that you want to be an entrepreneur? And how did it roll here?
I started doing glass when I was 15, just in high school, on the summers or after school, if I could. Anything. I wasn't raised poor, per se. Not necessarily a definition of privilege. My dad worked really hard, so he wasn't there much, but I knew he wasn't there because he was,
it's supporting and providing. Yeah,
it's just kind of that older Southern gentleman thing, and I always had that, and I knew I didn't want to go work for someone else. So when I was working for this other glass company, and I did that until I was probably 20, and then I moved to Tennessee to actually try to pursue a dream and stuff, and did some commercial work up there. And then when I came back home, things were kind of really hectic and just crazy. And I knew that I didn't quite know, I was spiritually confused. I was I knew that the one thing that I could do was to start a business, start a good business, work hard in the business, and just if I could keep a perfect track record in the business, it would admonish all the other stuff almost. You know what I mean? Sometimes we as guys would just be like, if I just do this, everything else is fine.
It'll fall into place. Everything's fine. This is great.
Just do this. and so that worked really well. And I ended up just working just way too late, way too often. And I didn't burn myself out per se, but I learned quickly the toll that it could take on the people around you, yourself, and just all of that. So I guess the main way I got into it was just by finding a business that had truly great profit margins, but it's something that I was skilled in for a long period of time. I make a joke to my guys all the time. I'm like, hey, if we could make people happy and make money digging holes, we'd dig holes. It's right now glass is incredible. Everyone needs windshields at some point. Everyone will need windows at some point. But we've got to be a product of our environment. Someday we may not be putting in 10, 15, 20 showers a week. We may be, doing half of that. So just, I guess I kind of ranted off your question of how I got into it all, man. Holy cow.
Nah, it's good. That's what people want to hear.
Yeah, totally, totally. And then after that, it was just a snowball. Philip and I started it, and we just grew together, man. And 4 years flew, 4.5 years flew by. It's the only job I've ever had, so I love music, that's my passion, but I guess I didn't have another choice of the business I was going to start, because I didn't know how to do anything else well.
All right, so real quick, we're going to jump right back into this whole business here, but you had mentioned going to Tennessee for a dream, and you said you love music. Just real quick, cause I know other people are listening, dude, what was the dream? What happened there? So real quick, touch on that, and then we'll come back to business.
The dream was just pursuing music, truly. I was out of high school and kind of thought that, I don't know, I thought it was just the best move, you know what I mean? You ever think something's a good idea and it just turned out horrible. So I got up there and you know, we were doing music, and just the circle that I was in, just problems began to arise. Things happened, and ultimately I decided to tuck tail and come home. And yeah. It was the best, worst decision ever, because I lost friends that were super important. I don't like to think it was like an embarrassing move, because it was just, it's what needed to happen. It was mm-hmm. it was probably the strongest move I could have made at the time. But then when I came back, it was just like wide open arms, man. You know, everything was clean and clear, and you know, the things that I was in at the time stayed in Tennessee, and then everything else like that came back fell apart too. So I was kind of just left with, it was just myself, and I was like, well, this is what I'll do with the business. But I did stick to the dream. I play music all the time. I play every Sunday at South Metro Ministries, and this coming Sunday I'm actually filling in at Noonan City Church.
See, I go to South Metro. I haven't been there in a bit, because I only work 2 days a week on the weekends, right? So I'm always gone on Sundays now. But yeah, that's where I've been going for the past 20 years now.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. I love it out there.
Hey, so what do you play?
I play bass, man. Can't you tell by my belly a little bit? Yeah, that's what I've been playing for the churches. I've been playing gospel bass a lot. I do play piano and guitar.
Okay,
I think if you were to take if you were to describe like a guitar person, you imagine them in their black jacket and their long hair and stuff, and then you imagine a bass player who's like a solidified human and just holds the groove. I was a guitar player before Nashville, and now I'm a bass player. I'm just holding the pocket and trying to watch everything go on around me.
There you go. Man, touching base real quick on saying you went to Tennessee and how things just kind of, God showed you certain things that were not supposed to be, and you came back and like tuck and tail or whatever. But
yeah.
Just kind of my experience, man, tell you, because I've been through several things in life. And, you know, God wants us to get out and grow, right? That's who we become, who we are, builds our character and our testimony to other people. So you got there, you learned that that's not God. And that was God's, you know, it's a passion you had, but wasn't God's destiny, so to speak. Your destiny is having a business and growing and being part of a church and helping people see it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, I would have continued to do music in that sense, I would not be in the same mental state, physical state, spiritual state.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to think that we've necessarily like made people's days or something, but you know, like sometimes it'll just be like a divorced wife that just needs a $30 windshield repair done for free. And it's like, you know, if you just do that, it's
yeah.
like, dude, if you make a woman cry or something like that, like, I didn't do anything like that playing in bars in Tennessee.
No.
And I wouldn't have done that playing in bars, unless they were just too drunk and they liked my cover song or something. Like,
which, yeah, they probably did. They're like, look at this guy's arms. He's almost like Dr. Blake over here. It's like Dr. Blake Jr.
Oh, my word. Jeez.
All right, man, we're going to jump back into the business aspect. So, you know, you and Philip have been doing it. Y'all started 4 years ago. Now, did it start out quick? Now, what did it just snowball and boom, just
yes,
take off?
It did.
Really?
So, Philip and I were working for another company, and I had kind of pretty much just fell and broken my femur. Like, I had broken my leg, and so I had called Philip. He was working
stage
for another
jumping
company. No, actually, I was fighting with a friend, and like, he hip tossed me. He was just playing around.
Oh.
And when he hip tossed me, he stomped his leg like right into this thing, tibia and fibia, not your femur.
Blake knows. The bone between your knee and ankle, yeah.
The knee and ankle one. And so I called Philip and I was like, hey man, you know, I really need like someone strong just to help me. Like, I was still working for another company. But right when we started ours, you know, we obviously like prayed about it. I'm not a big faster. Are y'all fasters? Can you fast a lot?
Bro, look at this body.
It's true. You look good. I don't know. People know what you look like, Danny.
I thought Danny played bass too, man.
Blake, you're laughing too. You make me feel self-conscious over here.
Five string with a fedora.
Look, man, radio puts 10 pounds on you. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm so sorry. Okay. That was funny. I don't care who you are.
Now our red flushes face. So Philip fasted about it. And Philip, so we did everything we thought we could do. The moment we launched the advertising, I called my guy, the person who did the advertising campaign, and what he did accidentally was he put my phone number on our homepage, on our Google page, versus a tracking number.
Okay.
And the very first day, my cell phone was ringing, and ringing and ringing. And I was like, I told Philip, I was like, we don't even need this guy. We don't need this marketing guy. Call him and tell him this is done. Like, we're just going to let my phone ring. And then I called him. He was like, oh, I just noticed, you know, I put the wrong number on, you know, the website. That's your cell phone number versus a call tracking number. You owe me $800 for the calls you got, kind of thing.
Really?
Not really $800.
I was about to say, dang,
no, it's pretty affordable. But yeah, it really did. It snowballed fast enough to the, you know, the first week. You know, I was able to give Philip a paycheck. The second week, we were both getting paychecks. You know, my personally speaking, my family has some debt. We were able to pay off their debt. Family, Philip's family had some debt, credit card debt stuff. We paid that stuff off, and it was. I read a book, and it said the first thing to know, the easiest way to know what you want to do in life or to be comfortable is to become rich. It's to get rich. That's the easiest first step. If you don't know what you want to do, try to become rich or become financially stable. Mm-hmm. And that way everything else it'll be a little more clear. Because there's a lot of things we do just because of money, of just because of our comfort, of what we need to be secure or free or like. And that's where I'm like, I still feel like I love being in this room with y'all older entrepreneurs and stuff. But that's my weakness as a young one is like does it ever become not a hustle at all, but like a mental... You know, I know I'm going to be busy next year, but what about 10 years? What about 15 years? But that's just a matter of faith.
Yeah, the question then just becomes, like, you know you'll be busy because it's in your blood. The question becomes, what will we be busy doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the exciting part.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me.
That's where my rush comes from.
Yeah, so the thing is what you want to do now, which I'm sure you probably already have, is, you know, thinking about it, praying about it, fasting about it, but having that goal, that visualization, and writing everything down of where you want to be in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now. And then you got to start, okay, this is where I want to be at 10 years. Okay, what do I got to do in 5 years to get there? What do I got to do in, you know, 3 years to get to that five-year mark, and so on and so forth? That way you can achieve those goals. Because like you and I had spoken before, right before air, you know, where you want to be at in 5 years, running the company, and having everyone just working for you, where you're at the office, having more time off. It's planning for that, you know, understanding what you got to do and set into play for that to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Signed, set, delivered, man.
Well, look, I know we're winding down on time real quick before time does run out. Let everybody know, man, how they can get contact with you, like all your contact information, everything. We still got 2 minutes left, so let's get that out there, and then we're going to talk some more.
Cool. So the easiest way to find me, guys, is if you were to simply get on Google and type in best frameless shower company, cutest shower door company, guys, best glass, anything that you could fathom as a keyword for glass on Google, we will actually show up number one. So we've got a location in Noonan and Peachtree City and Fayetteville. I'm trying to do one in Tyrone too, but if you Google glass, you'll find us, and it's called All Glass. If you want my cell phone number, it's 678-633-2479, but that's posted online too. So if you call any of those numbers, Facebook, you'll get me. It forwards to my number. I won't blow anyone off or push it to a secretary quite yet.
I do have a question about that. A lot of listeners who are trying to get out there and get at the top of the listing, and you just said you are there. Give a few tips or one or two tips of how our listeners can get at the top of those listings.
First best tip is I have friends that ask me that to start businesses, and Google is just a referral service. It's nothing more. You can't pay to get to the top of Google. You can do pay-per-click ads and end up in a little screen up top, but have domain authority, have a URL that's been around, get reviews, have backlinks, like go to credible companies. Like I use my hardware company, and they will backlink me on their website because they know I'm a great installer. And with any sort of domain authority, time as a listing, that will bring you to the top of Google. So when I first started my business, I had incredible reviews. I had 50 plus 5-star reviews, but there was a company next door to me that had 3 or 4 reviews, and they were at the top of Google. So it's just time and doing a good job, truly. And Google will put you at the top, and you'll stay at the top.
So they were at the top just because they've been open longer?
Yeah, they've been around for probably 10 years. They had way more domain authority than me. I had everything else but that. And then as I, you know, it only took a few years to establish that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all I would say as far as getting to the top of Google is just simply backlinking, getting reviews, and doing a good job.
Now, I'm not sure. What is backlinking?
Backlinking, so for me, like there's a company called C.R. Lawrence, and they'll actually put my company's website on their page. And they're maybe not multi-million, but they're a massive, massive company that's been around, longer than I've been born. So the fact that they'll put me on their page immediately gives me that street cred, as we could call
it.
And that'll, Google will see me as, oh, if someone's looking up glass, this is the best company to recommend because they've got the best reviews, because they've been around for a comparable amount of time. And that's where I feel my safety net is on that. As long as I don't start doing bad jobs and stuff, I will always stay tip-top on that.
Dude, that's a blessing, man. Amen. It sounds like, yeah, God's been with you. He's been had his favor upon you with everything. It sounds like that's awesome.
Amen. That is really the only reason. Truly, man, I think he's the best advertiser because he wants me to be in homes for a reason. That's it.
That's it. I mean, no, Blake goes to church every week, is always praying, and his prayer life is strong, and that's one thing I'm getting back into as well and been doing well for a while. So one thing I talk to a lot of Christian entrepreneurs is the ones that are doing well in business, their prayer life is a lot closer with God. Like their walk is.
Right.
So, you know, and that's something I always respect, and I want to get better with that myself. So that's why I will see you tomorrow morning.
Me too, man. I want to get better with that too.
There you go. Wow. I just got to be there on the circle in the morning. It's the network group. I don't know what Travis was up, dude.
No.
All right, guys. We are winding down. So again, we have Travis Montgomery here, the owner and founder of All Glass here in Fayetteville, Georgia. If you want any kind of glass service, from picture frames to glass shower doors installation, window panes, whatever it is, this is the man to call. You can find him on Facebook. Look up Travis Montgomery or All Glass.
Yeah, All Glass or Travis Montgomery.
Or cute guys doing shower doors. I heard that one too.
We just started that when Ryan joined the company.
Oh, okay.
All right, guys. So he is the man to call. So again, we thank you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. And remember, you are stronger than failure.
Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole. Stronger Than Failure.